There's not like a comic book, let's get ready to rumble thing. It's more of a quiet exercise.
Yeah, it's more it's not the same.
I mean, it's very loud within the text of the comics usually, but
right.
Yeah. All right, very good.
Pow.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my cartoon friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Age of Comics, The Golden Years, designed by Giacomo Cimini and Sonia Gonsalves, artwork created by Laura Guglielmo, and published by Lirius Games.
Age of Comics is a 1-4 player worker placement game where players will print and sell comics in the Great Age of Comics, 1938 to 1954. You will be publishing original comics and selling knockoff copies of your opponents to earn a buck.
Womp, womp.
The player who creates the biggest fan base for their comics will be the winner and claim all that you want in life as the great victor of the comic book world.
Wow.
Let's review Age of Comics, The Golden Years.
Very nice. Ian, are you a collector of things?
Yeah, I have a lot of things.
Do you have like a stamp collection or something like that?
No. I have some board games, just a few.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I have board games. That's about it. I mean, I have some music equipment, but nothing, no stamps, no comics, maybe some things like here or there, but I'm not much of a collector as I wish I had like old comics. Man, that would be so cool if I did, but I do not. What about you?
No, I actually don't even consider my board game collection to be something that I collect or like it makes me a collector. For those who know me, I very much cycle out my board game collection once I'm done playing with it. I'm just not a sentimental or nostalgic person most of the time. So I'm just not like, oh, I remember when I first got this game and there's just no way I can let it go. So I know for a collector, like they're used to holding on to those very precious gems that either have some sort of very sentimental value or very old value to them. And I'm just not that way. And I've never been interested in collecting stamps or things like that, that just kind of sit around and don't do anything. I've just always had a really hard time with that. But so maybe we're not the ones to ask this question to, because that flopped.
No, I probably not. But I do have. I'm gonna say something. So since we're not comic book people at all, I did a little research just because I was curious on this whole what is the age of comics and the golden years. So.
Okay, a little history lesson, if you will.
Yeah. So the first ever believed comic book was The Adventures of Obadiah Oldbuck, which was published in Europe in 1837.
That's incredible.
It was more of a picture book than like a comic, because it's like very limited technology to print a full-on comic. But as you go through, obviously, about, let's see, that was, so about 100 years-ish later, you've got in 1938, you have Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster's Superman character, which kind of kicked off this golden years of comics, which also were very popular during World War II.
Mm.
So you have a lot of patriotic characters, Captain America, Batman, Green Lantern, starting to develop through these periods. Anyway, as the world goes on, the comic books just became super popular during that period. They had a very cultural kind of setting to them and motivation behind them is this kind of spirit of being a patriot on top of all these other things kind of distract you from the war that was happening as well. So very fascinating. The golden years, as they say, I think it was really fascinating to kind of look through that. And that's, again, that was 1938 to 54. So again, kind of, it did kind of settle through World War II and then throughout a little bit further. So I'm curious of why, it kind of makes sense, I guess, is that there was this kind of cultural tie in a way, which is kind of cool.
I know some people that collect comics and some of them are like hardcore purists. Do you have friends like that?
I don't know if I do know you and I didn't know it, then let me know. but I don't think I know anybody that collects a bunch of comics, at least like older ones to any extent or anything like that.
Sure.
That I'm aware of. Do you know anybody that's like a diehard?
Yeah, I have some. So like they'll make fun of me because I'll look at comics on my tablet instead of having the physical version. It's just a lot easier for me, and I don't.
It
need,
is a little bit
like
it
the
is
feel
a little
of the
easier
paper and all that. So
yep, no, that's fair, I guess.
I don't know. It's also hard for me because I very much like my story to stay connected, and I feel like comics just kind of explode all over the place and just kind of be like, all right, we're gonna do this now, but then we're gonna jump all over here and do this thing. And maybe they'll connect someday, but right now they don't. So I don't know. Comics are a weird space for me, but I like the concept behind them.
Yeah, I think they look great. I love them. So I will say one of my favorite games, which I mentioned before, Marvel Champions had in all their like little hero packs they would do as part of the rule book that you could flip it over. And it has like it's a comic panel from that character. And so I framed a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have them hanging in the room with my games. I think it's really cool. I think it's just kind of blown up kind of comic book style art. So I do like them. I just don't generally collect them to any extent. So,
yep. If you love comics, I would love for you to tell me, you know what I actually would love? So I know a lot about like superhero comics. I understand that world, Marvel, DC, that sort of thing. But it's interesting because in this game, you have things like zombie comics and you have romance comics and you have all these different types of comics. And I'm just like, you know, I mean, I knew those existed, but I never really like considered them before.
Right.
So I'm just like, if you have a good recommendation, I'm all about it. I would love to know what I can explore because it's just a vast world, man. And it's hard to know like what's good and what's just there.
I do think, I mean, it is a little bit harder in today's culture. I think comics, again, during this period would have been super cool to read through.
Yep.
Because the, you know, as far as media and stuff like that wasn't as present, you know, TV and an iPad.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, it was kind of pushing what, you know, their technology was of like, look at these full kind of action kind of, or whatever, like whatever story it is, but either horror or something, it's telling this story that's more than just a book. Like I can read a book, but now you're showing me a story, which is a little different. So I think it's, again, during that period, I think you're kind of expanding the technological boundaries that have been done before. And now you're creating these stories that are visually there that you would only be able to get via, you know, going to a play or, you know, there might be some TV as well, but like just not the same as full color panels of a story was not there yet.
Yep. Well, and as you were saying that, another thing that came to mind just with the advancement of today, I'm thinking about, you know, you asked me a second ago if I have people that collect comics and something that just came to mind, and this is really going off on a tangent, so we'll try to bring it back in quick, but webtoons are another thing that are comic-esque that have really kind of taken over with the internet. And so you've got even more of this grand scope of things that's competing in this space. So there's a lot out there and it's hard to know what to go after.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right. Well, shall we talk about how to play this game? And then we'll
I guess
dive
we
into
should talk about the game now, shouldn't we?
I suppose. All right, just a disclaimer up front, there are a lot of little intricacies to certain rules in this game, and I am not going to go over all of them. Again, we want to keep this as an overview, so So I will do my best to kind of paint that picture. And then, you know, as you dive into the game, you can find those intricacies for yourself. So, as Ian said, players are participating as individuals who are running their own comic book publishing companies in the golden age of comics. The player who has the most victory points at the end of the game wins. There is a center board that holds the comic chart that tracks the fan count for each comic, the different actions that workers can be assigned to each turn, the turn order tracker, the calendar, and the sales map are all found on this center board. There are also card decks for writers, artists, and comics, as well as a variety of tokens that represent money, various ideas that you'll need to complete comics, and a variety of other bonus tokens. To start the game, you're going to have three writers, three artists, and three comic books face up. Players have in front of them a board of their own. This is where they will keep up with the published comics, and the board also reminds them of their bonuses when they publish a comic. Players get workers, a sales agent, special action tokens, and a turn order token that's placed on the center board. Additionally, you do start with one writer, one artist, and one comic book to get you going. During the game, there are three phases to a round. There are five rounds in a game. In phase one, we are going to reset the board, revealing more of the bonuses on the sales map each round. And if you want to, you can pay money to increase your creative's talent. Then, moving into phase two, that's where most of the game takes place. This is where you place your workers, or in this game, they're called editors. There are six possible actions that you can take. You can hire a writer and an artist. You can either take from those face-up spots, or you can pull off the top of the deck. You can develop. If you develop, you can take one of the comic books. It can either be top of the deck, it can be one of the face-up comics, or you can spend four buckaroos to just announce a genre that you want, and then take the top card from that genre. The third thing you can do is take idea tokens. If you're wanting to publish a comic, you need a few things. You need money, you need an artist, you need a writer, and you need ideas, because every great comic is born out of a great idea. So that's why you need to go and find these idea tokens. There are six genres, and therefore there are idea tokens for each. The next action is to exercise what I was just talking about, which is to actually go and print. Again, you need an artist, a writer, the comic itself. You're going to pay based on the value of the artist and the writer, and you're going to turn in two idea tokens that match the comic that you are publishing. There are bonuses if you have your artist and your writer match up with the genre of the comic, but it is not required. The next action is to go get some money called gaining royalties. Last but not least, you can go exercise some sales. This is where you get your sales guy out on the streets and start hyping up your comics by collecting bonuses, which you can apply to comics that you've either already published or ones that will be published in the future. This will increase your fan count for that comic if you meet the requisites. These six actions have a limited number of spots, like every good worker placement. Once those spots are all filled, you cannot go back to that action for that round. Once everyone has spent all of their editors and are now on the board, then we move into phase three. You're going to score points for your comic ranking. When you print a comic, depending on the rank of the artist, the writer, the matching up of its genre, as well as any fans you collected through sales for that round, it's going to determine how many fans that you have. Whoever has the highest ranked comic is going to get the most points earned that round. And everyone else, not everybody else, depending on the player count, but then there's a level two and a level three for that. That also determines how much money you're going to make for the round is based on how many fans that you have for each of your comics. And it will also determine turn order for the next round. Whoever has the lowest of their highest comics will go first, and then you go backwards from there to determine your turn order. Each comic does lose one fan at the end of the round because, you know, you can't keep people engaged forever. You remove your editors from the board and discard and refill each of the writer, artist, and comic stacks that are face up. Like I said, you go through five rounds of this. Once you are done with the fifth round, you move into final scoring. Final scoring includes the total value of all of your fans, victory points from tokens, and there are a variety of different ways to get bonuses. A certain amount of money will get you a certain amount of points, as well as leftover idea tokens. And then each original comic is going to score you points as well. The reason I say original, once a comic has come into play, there is a chance for you to print a knockoff comic. I don't like talking about this because it makes me feel gross, but it is a thing that you can do. You can essentially build a comic and print it just like you would normally, but you don't need the ideas because somebody else has already done that, and you're just coming in and ripping off of it. That will give you a lesser value, but hey, sometimes you need to do that. Highest score determines the best publisher in the industry and the winner at the table. Let's head back over to our table and discuss.
Well, this company.
Which company?
Is it Ilurious?
It's Lurious.
Lurious, that's right. I always see it wrong in my head. I always think it's an I.
The ABCs are hard.
Yeah, no, I know. Indie company from, what would it be, Italy? Rome.
It is from Italy, that's right.
Specifically Rome. And it's one of their first games, which we love. So there is something to say. This game, as far as English publishing, it was attempted to be released, I think, a couple years ago. Kind of fell through. Now they've tried again. And I think it seems to be pretty successful. You can buy it off their website. And it doesn't have like mass marketing here in the United States. But it seems that they are at least successful in their English copies this time around, which is very cool. Good for them. And so that is one thing that if you are at the end of all of this and you're interested in purchasing this game, you can look on there. I think one of the main ways is directly, but it can be done. And so
you can order it off their website. Yeah. But that's one of the only places that I've found it.
Yeah. So again, it's a pretty small company. We found this game at Gen Con. And so I bought one of the last copies they had there. So it seemed that some people were purchasing at Gen Con.
They are quite the couple as far as outside of the board gaming world.
Yeah.
Sonia has a PhD in economics.
Nice.
From the London School of Economics.
Whoa.
And has worked also in teaching and research for the last 15 years. And he, I think I read somewhere that he's like got a filmmaking degree.
Okay.
So very unique careers and then diving into the board game space as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, overall, I think this game does get some attention and some love as well. And so I always love being able to see a project that they enjoyed making and going through that process that they're rewarded. And so it's cool to see. It's good to have some people getting into the hobby and designing games. And so we always support that.
Absolutely. Laura, the artist, this is, it's not her first game. It's her second. She did a small game, Dungeon Digger, back in 2017. And is working with Lirius on their next project, Timeless Journeys, the Italian Grand Tour, which sounds like a vacation style go tour the city kind of game. So very excited to see what's going on there. You can definitely see some of the parallels from Age of Comics as far as the artwork goes.
Gotcha.
I clicked on the link and immediately was like, oh yeah, I've seen this artwork. Cool to see the whole team kind of growing up together. That's really cool.
Yeah, very nice.
Cool. So Age of Comics, Ian, we have both just confessed to not being very knowledgeable about comics, but being interested. We both like worker placement games. What was your initial draw to this game when you first saw it on the BGG Gen Con hot list?
One, this game has a couple things that I do like that I look at it, I see it on there, and I think we did it before we even went to Gen Con. I was looking through and I noticed this game. And the art, I know I could see some people thinking it to be more bland or generic. I personally like this. It's got this, I don't know, kind of realistic to the style and the time period kind of art style. And I think it's kind of cool. I like this kind of, it's got a little bit more generic style, but it's very functional in my mind. And it has a little bit of a comic book feel to like the board and the cards as well. the tokens that are the actual comics are, they look like little comic books. And I saw that just from the get-go and I was like, okay, that looks pretty cool. And so all the little comic books are these like little rectangle things that like look like comic books and they're nice thick cardboard and they stack. And anyway, they go on like the sales chart and you kind of watch them. And it's very cool thematically. They have this theme kind of ingrained into the system of worker placement that works really well, in my opinion. And definitely drew me in from the beginning of all that is being able to produce these different comic books. Now they're not representational or they're not in association with any type of real comic books. They have fake names and the artists and the writers are fake. I'm not really sure where those names come from. I don't know. There are names on the writers and artists in the game. I'm curious of where they came up with those names. I don't know if they made them up or maybe they're friends or maybe they're, I don't know. I need to ask. That'd be cool to get an answer on that because I think that'd be pretty cool to know for sure. But regardless, I think it's a very cool system and I think it looks pretty. Just this, it's a very, again, 1930s, 40s kind of vibe that you're in this comic book printing business and you're feeling that feel like on the board. There's not anything that necessarily pops out on the board as plenty of other games that we have looked at. But I think it's doing something that's kind of different in a way that it's adding this kind of historical vibe to it within this genre of comic books.
I also found this when we were previewing stuff for Gen Con. It just kind of, I missed the Kickstarter, didn't know anything about it, and it just kind of popped up. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. I think you and I were on a call together when we were going over the preview, and I was like, hey, have you seen this Age of Comics thing yet? You looked into it a little bit further than I had already. I had just kind of marked it as something to look into and you went ahead and dove into it. And I think the thing for me that sold me was when you were like, oh, they're going to make their own comics instead of pulling real comics. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Because I love when people, like, I love the game, The Networks, which just riffs on real life stuff. And it's a combination of funny and feel good. And it just like, oh, I wonder what the story is there. And I loved when looking at the comic covers being like, you know, I really wonder what the story's like there. And then you start pairing it with an artist and a writer. It's almost like a better story if you get a one-off where the writer or the artist doesn't match. Because then you're like, oh, I've got romance, but it's inside of this horror theme.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, it's just so interesting nowadays, man. You and I were talking about this the other night. The whole community of board games has kind of moved out of this golden age of innovation where we saw all these new mechanics. And now it's like this, how many different themes can we come up with? How many different journeys can we let people go on where, yeah, we might not come up with anything innovative on the mechanic side, but we're going to let everyone feel like they're doing the thing that we're wanting them to go on. So I think that was another draw, was to say, okay, I want to know what it's like to be a comic book publisher. I think that sounds cool. And so I think that's kind of what drew me in a world where I can choose to be lots of different things in this community. That was definitely one that I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. For the most part, I think that it succeeded at that.
Yeah, I think it's like you're saying, there's this period of, I mean, a lot of these games, you're copying ideas and using ideas from multiple different ideas and games. What does a game do differently? How does it present differently? You know, is the art unique? Is the, you know, the way players interact unique and stuff like that? I think this game does present some things that are unique to, you know, its own game, which is really cool. Obviously, the comics, like you said, and building these kind of like writers and creatives. They call them creatives in this game that you're using to write some stories. I do think it's kind of cool. Yeah, like you said, like, you could have this romance, but then use like an action comic guy and then, you know, your horror like artist. And I'm like, what? This comic would look pretty legit if this is actually true. I think in a good way, you're using your imagination a little bit. And maybe like the next time I play it, like maybe it'd be fun for players to kind of like explain their comic. Like maybe there's some ways to kind of spice up this kind of, because in a, that's the good thing is like you use your imagination a little bit. The other part is like there isn't anything, like it's almost bad that you're using things that don't correlate with the comic book you're actually printing. But I wish there was a way like to maybe get some extra goals via using people that don't necessarily associate with that comic style.
Sure.
But regardless of that, I think there is some creative liberties as the players of this game to kind of keep it kind of loose and having some fun with what you're making. Because I remember late in the game of one of the games we played, I didn't have anybody of the Western that I really wanted. So I threw two horror people on top of my action comic book. And I was like, I wonder what this comic book would look like. I'm trying to picture it because I think it would be hilarious. I would probably buy it. I think maybe it's like it's kind of like a Batman spinoff. It's got this horror vibe behind a superhero. So, you know, as if I were to play it more, maybe using some of my own creative liberties would be kind of cool, because I think there is kind of some mystery there and some openness to use your imagination. I think that potentially maybe that's what they've kind of opened the door to as well. I think that's kind of neat.
So that's really interesting you say that, because playing this game, I almost felt the opposite at times.
Mm.
And so this is going to be the interesting, like, theme versus mechanics clash, where, you know, you get sucked into the theme, but you got to remember that you're there to win too. So there were points in the game where I would have these cards in my hand and I would say, oh, this would make the better story. But then I would reshuffle it and be like, but this makes the better scoring.
Right.
And I have to remember, I'm a publisher. Like, I'm here to make the money, not right. the story that I want. And so it's right. like this interesting tension of do I go for this thing that sounds more fun, or do I go for this other thing that's going to get me more fans, which ultimately gets me more money, which gets me more points, which, you know, it just kind of compiles on itself.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, because I see both your side of it, and I also remember feeling like this money-grubbing publisher that needed to make money.
So another thing that I've been thinking about is, like, so when you make a comic book with the writers and an artist that aren't specialized in that type.
Sure.
Even if they're like specialized, they're like three, because three is the max. If you do three and three, there's an interesting, I guess the more I'm thinking about this process, like, there is a way for you to do that and still use that to your advantage to go to the sales market and just push your comic book out. Just push, 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 which is funny because it's like, oh yeah, like, yeah, our comic book is a horror film, but it's written by superhero guys. But here you go. We're going to sell it to you anyway. And so you go and push it. There's a world where you could, like, make it really good if you did it right. Like, you could hit all the things and just push it out on the market. And so I think that, I mean, there is a way for you to do that. I don't think it's necessarily like you have to, you know, stay within the lane. But again, you are losing out on some points. And so that is important. You know, you're losing out on potentially, you know, 4 points each if you just do all of your comics but that way. But maybe you can pump out more of them. I don't know. So there's also a process there. So I don't know. As I play this game more, I'm going to start kind of testing what the alternative strategies are. I think in general, we kind of all pushed for the originals in our games and did a couple knockoffs, but really stuck to pushing the originals with the specialized creatives on the projects. I could see a world, though, where if you're just pumping them out on this game, like, our comics aren't great, but we're just putting a ton of them out there. Maybe says some magic can happen there. I don't know. I'm just curious now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't go for the knockoff game, but even when other players do it, I'm just like, oh, that's so gross. I would never let my company stoop to such a level.
But again, I mean, it's part of the game, so there has to be definitely something worthwhile there that potentially could, I don't know, it's an interesting combination there between the originals and the knockoffs that could be viable. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. And I think, so you mentioned it a minute ago, I think for me, my favorite mechanic is the sales map, mm-hmm. where you're having your sales rep run around the town trying to market your stuff.
It's like they never sleep.
I know. Well, it's so cool to, like, build something. So if I can build this comic, but then the rest of the game, like, I can keep enhancing it and keeping it going the whole time. Like, my original comic in one game just completely carried me the whole game.
Yeah.
And that was so cool to see.
Just kept boosting it.
That's right.
I think it's interesting. So in the game, the most recent game we played, I was more on this trail of of just pumping out multiple projects where the rest of the players were very much like stick with the big originals and try and boost them to the best of your ability and kind of stick with those. And so I would go multiple turns where I'm pumping out like two a turn, and then I was ahead of kind of in the overall comic books printed, but overall the points wise and the fans wise, my comic books weren't doing as well on the charts. And so I wasn't scoring as much in those aspects, and ended up like all of our scores with it were in two. So, and we talked about this after this game, is like, I was scoring kind of this underlying beneath the board, like scoring that nobody was watching. You couldn't see me scoring points, where the rest of y'all were scoring points on the board, physical sales. Like I could see you just murdering me in sales. But what ended up happening?
Like the mantra of the whole game in this last game was, Jared's going to destroy us. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah. There's a ton of scoring that happens behind the scenes, behind closed doors, so to speak, and the slimy deals. But I think it's cool, though, after that game specifically, it kind of revealed a lot to me, is that there is this aspect that, you know, there is this catch-up mechanic that is possible, and it made me feel at least better about my performance after the game. Is like, I was never really out of it. I felt like it in the moment, but I just needed to keep, you know, printing and doing those things, because I ended up having a chance at the end, which is a nice thing to have in a worker placement game. I feel like in a lot of worker placements that I've played, you can get railroaded very quickly and you're off the board forever, and not, you're just kind of there. You're just moving around. There's not much of a catch up. Once somebody kind of gets their ramp going, there's not much you can do. So it was really cool to see the aspect of this, is that I felt like I got off to a terrible start and y'all were kind of just pumping them out and staying on top of the sales game. And I slowly rebuilt my process, and I just kind of stuck to the process, and I ended up having almost 2 points away. If I would have made maybe one more move here or there, I would have won. So I think that's cool. It's a nice balancing feature, especially in games. Nobody wants to feel like the guy that's odd man out. Like that sucks. Nobody wants to be that person that's just sitting there getting railroaded while their other three people are having fun. So
for what it's worth, I did win that game, but
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. It's interesting that you mentioned the catch-up mechanic. One, it feels awful being last in the turn order. You're just watching all your ideas evaporate in front of you.
Yeah.
Because the faster you get to an action, the better it is. And yes, so you,
they get worse,
you want
as the more
to
people
get
take them.
Even though there's multiple slots, you want to be able to get there quicker so that you can get the extra bonus of being the first one there. And you're just watching everybody take the things that you want, and you're just like, ugh, this sucks.
Yeah.
But it does give the player that's lower on the totem pole a chance to kind of catch up. It also is one of those sneaky economic things where you're like, do you want to get out to a fast start with your first comic, or do you want to build a little bit first? Like, what do you want to do there?
Right. I think it was interesting because I would have had no shot if that wasn't in the game, because multiple times out of the five rounds that we played, on my first action, I went and grabbed two creatives, and then everybody else either followed suit or got something, you know, either some ideas or something. And then when my turn came back around, I was the first person to print and publish. And so that first person, when you go there, you get to print two comics. And so instead of wasting two actions to do that, so I basically hit it up. I was able to get some creatives to get my second one, and then I just printed two. And that I did that twice, and that kept me in the game. And again, if you're not going first, that's impossible. I mean, unless you've stacked up last round to be ready, I just, there's no shot. So I think, yeah, like you're saying, I think there's this interesting balance between being last and being first, and it's kind of sliding the scales and tipping the scales a little bit in one person's favor. But I didn't think it necessarily ruined your game, at least from my perspective. I still felt like you were still able to do what you wanted, and I was still able to do what I wanted. And sometimes going first, in some instances, like obviously going somewhere first is great, but there is an advantage when you're taking the creatives. You don't want to go first because you can't get that third slot yet until somebody else goes there. So there is a little bit, like there's a lot of little balancing things that you're seeing as the game progresses there.
It's interesting too, because it kind of depends on where you're at. Like with those face up riders, if there was a good pair there or there was something there that you guys knew that I needed, you would just yank it up. And I'm just like, this sucks. Like, I just,
why do I have to be winning?
I'm just wanting to make a comic, guys. Like, I'm not trying to be whatever.
Yeah. No, it's multiple times I'm like, okay, I can't let you have that, so I'm gonna go take it because I want it. So,
all right. So we've talked about some things that we do like. What do we not like about this game? Any issues? Anything that keeps you from achieving what you want when you're playing this game?
Not anything that like keeps me from achieving what I want. I think, like we've mentioned prior, it's not doing anything that's like crazy or unique necessarily as far as game mechanics. There are some like neat little ideas as far as, like we said, the player order. It changes based on who's in first. Who's in first? If they're at first, they'll go last next round. So there's a balance there that I think is really neat. But it's not anything innovational necessarily. I think the theme is there. It does something that some other games don't have. But overall, like mechanics-wise, it's has a lot of worker placement varieties. And it's just kind of like tying a lot of different ones together. As far as scoring and like those kind of subtleties inside worker placement, again, not anything unique in its own right is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. It does it well, but I don't think it's doing anything special when it, in regard to mechanics. Art style is, again, that kind of comic booky light definition, not anything like. It doesn't like pop, but it doesn't like, it's not boring. In my opinion, it's not boring. It just doesn't pop either. So, you know, take that for what you want.
Yeah. When I play this game, my thought is there's so much potential here and it's really close, but it also, I don't know. I'm not a board game designer, so I'm just going to speak off of my experience of playing games. I think that it does a lot of mistakes that a first game designer does, where the rule book's not organized well enough to where it flows well. There's some of the intricacies that I do like, but then there's others where I'm like, this is overly complicated and I think it could have been cleaned up. I agree with you. The art is good for what it's thinking. Like, it's a good 40s and 50s art style, but I do wish it had a little bit more of a flow instead of a blocky feel on the central board itself. Everything feels very blocky. I'm very mixed on the art because I think what they did on the comics is so cool. And I love the various names that you mentioned earlier and all of that. So there's really good things that happen with the art, but I think the board itself could be better. The lack of innovation is hard. It's something we were talking about earlier tonight. The fact that we've moved out of an age of innovation in board gaming, we're in an age of theme. There's not a lot of games that do this thing where you can become a comic book publisher and kind of walk that journey. So I want to be able to rate this game on its own without comparing it to every other worker placement that I've played. But at the same time, there's lots of worker placements. And so it's very tough to just say this game can stand on its own when I'm like, well, but it also, does it do anything better than X, or does it do anything better than Y, or whatever? It's tough. I hate to rag on it because I had a really fun time playing it. I think for 5 rounds, I wish it clipped a little bit faster. I think even once you kind of get a hold of it, there's, like I said, there's just, the game is fiddly enough and the rules have these little intricacies and there's enough of those that it takes time. And that's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But I think it could be sped up a little bit too.
Yeah.
So those are just kind of my, I don't know, they're just some of my thoughts. All right. Player interaction. I think there's a fair amount. I felt that in our last game the entire time. I'm like, wow, I'm the leader and these guys are not happy about it.
I think it is a worker placement level of player interaction, which is a lot.
Yep.
There is a lot of vying for positioning and getting their first priority. Like we all discussed at the end of this last game, like the tension was so high at the end of the game. It was very much, okay, we got to make our final moves to get those last little bit of points. Everybody's vying for the same spots. So that tension is there. And I think it's really good. I think it does it well in some other, again, as far as other worker placements, I think it is on point. It does well. It does not fail with the the amount of tension that is there. I never felt like, okay, somebody took the last spot. Okay, I'm screwed. I never felt that, which is, I think, a good thing, because that can happen in worker placement. You just got to pivot and you're like, okay, well, unfortunately, I'm just going to have to hit it another round, but I'm going to go do this instead and I can still score. That tension is there, but not necessarily in a way that's going to be cutthroat and ruin your game in a way.
Sure. I would agree with that. Player count, I think this game shines at 3. There's enough to build tension, but it's not at its max count, which is going to add more time to the game, in my opinion. And it's going to give you less. I mean, it does add an extra slot for worker placement. But I also think that I just like the room, a little bit of room at 3. I think that's where it really shines.
Yeah, I think in general, that would be probably optimal. I think BGG also suggests 3 as well. I think it's a good solid number.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I don't know, man. Like, I'm in a place in life where, especially on these things where I'm building something, like, I'm fine to not be the best builder and lose the game, but I don't want to feel like I don't even have access to really build what I want to build.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that makes me kind of pull away from the highest player count.
Yeah.
But I think you could play it at 4 and it would still be fun.
Yeah.
It's all about what you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you want chaos?
Some people relish chaos.
If you do, then go for it.
All right. No expansions yet, even though people are clamoring for it already. There's a little mini expansion in the box.
Yeah, sure. Mini expansions and stuff like that. But there's not anything. I think they're in... It seems to be that they're in some possible development of some type of mini expansion to be added. Another one of some kind. But overall, it's not anything printed.
I'm really curious what that would be.
It seems that they have a special guest cards, some double specialization of creative cards, and then again, the mini expansions that we have already are the Public Enemy and then special sales. So it seems that there might be adding it's not a big expansion. It doesn't seem yet that, again, this game kind of coming out right now. So in this last year, it's kind of re-hit the market. So I wouldn't see anything in the near future, but as potential,
sure,
there is something on, that could be cooking up.
All right, man. Well, with that in mind, let's move into grading and final thoughts.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've said most of it. You want to rate this game on its own, but you've also got to keep in mind that there's a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you really enjoy worker placement and you want that experience of running a publishing company, I think you're going to enjoy this game. If you don't like comics, you're not even interested. So I don't know. Like, it's just kind of whatever. But if you're just looking for a good, like, solid, find something new game where the mechanics kind of blow you away, I don't think you're going to find anything new here. But I also think that the mechanics that they've chosen to incorporate together work really well together. So I will applaud that. I think that I'm going to put this game at a 7. I think that it's good. I don't need to play it all the time. I have other worker placements that I think I enjoy the theme more, so I'm going to gravitate to those instead. But I don't know, like, I would definitely recommend that people try it if they're interested. I don't know. That feels like I'm not even really giving it a good enough endorsement, but that's kind of where I sit with it. I think it's a 7.
Yeah.
it's fine. Like, I don't know.
You don't have to seem so sad about giving it a 7. I think a 7.
I am sad about it, dude. I wanted this game to be an 8. I wanted this game to be an 8 so bad.
Mm.
And I just can't get there.
I guess.
I think it's a 7.
Well, we're going to agree with our 7s.
Oh.
But I don't feel bad about giving it a 7. I think 7's a great game. I think it's a good game and it does.
I think it's a good game.
I think this has aspects of a great game.
Yes,
and
I would agree.
And I think it is doing what it wants to do well and doing it efficiently. It's not doing anything like above and beyond necessarily, like, That sounds bad though. Like I think this is, I
you're gonna do the same thing.
No, I mean that what I'm saying, like that sounds bad, but it's okay. I'm gonna refresh here and
Oh, we're gonna refresh, are we?
Man. We're gonna redo that. That was awful. Can't just say the same thing you just said. That's so bad.
That's true.
Well, I'm also going to give this a 7, but I'm going to use some different verbiage to kind of explain how I
really
feel.
Screwed that up.
Yeah, you really did. You put me in the bad place. But anyway.
What? I set you up for success.
I think that this game is fun, and I had fun playing it. I enjoyed my time. There were periods where I was kind of depressed, though, that I was getting outsailed on the board.
Dude, you were such a sad boy at points in our last game.
I know. But in the end, though, when I saw all of my hard work pay off, I was on the grind. I was upset. I was working long hours throughout the night. And to see my product at the end of all of it create a almost winning performance, I was very much thrilled. And so that makes me feel good about this game. I think there's a lot of aspects that need maybe a little bit more help, but I think there's plenty of aspects that do really well. And I think that's really good. I think for obviously a first time publisher of doing a game like this, I think it is excellent work. I think the comic style, the art, I think is I personally love. I know not everybody's going to love that style, but I think it's great. I really like it. I love the comics and the little tokens, the little cards. I like the cards. I like the names of the comics themselves. I think it's so cool. I definitely fell in love with that as playing it, but also even before playing, I just love that aspect of this game. And so that makes me definitely want to come back to it, is that the theme for me is definitely going to help me bring it back. Like we discussed, as far as worker placement, it's not doing anything crazy, but it's matching something as far as a theme and some aspects of mechanics that do tend to work together for me, and they do flow for me well in this game. So I think that's really cool. So overall, I'm just going to give it a 7. Solid game. It's a fun experience. I had fun playing it and kind of like digging through the comics and playing them and putting them on there and like, oh, I'm going to create some hype for my comics. I think that was really cool, and I think it did it well, and I think it's not, I mean, in general, there's not a ton of games that are go through the comics as a whole in that kind of world. So, and there's plenty of other games out there that like you make, you know, movies or produce shows or so. This is kind of like a very specific genre, very, you know, delicate, and it's just like its own vibe, you know? And so I think it fits. I think it's a good game, and I think the theme is unique enough to stand the test of the market, and I think it has a group of people that would be very much enjoy this game. It's not going to be, if you're like, okay, I got to find games about comics, this is going to stand out because there's not many, and it's going to stand out well, in my opinion.
No, I hope they figure out a way to get it more widely produced. As much as I'm kind of like, it's good, whatever with my tone. I do think there's a lot of people that are into comics that are also in this industry, and I think they would enjoy this game because of that journey that you get to go on.
Yeah.
And so I do wish success on this group, and I hope this game gets more exposure because I think that it has a place in the industry.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's a nice change of pace.
Well, I also think that all of our listeners have a nice place in this industry, and we're very happy that you've taken some time to hang out with us here. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com, or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Keep printing. Keep printing. Get it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. Sell it.